Matthew Seeger, thank you for showing up. I would say Matthew actually was my breaking point into Lev HaTorah. You know, I was here last year. I paraded around my office, didn't have so much to do with people. And then Matthew came to check out the yeshiva, and every single person he was supposed to see wasn't there. And then somehow, by some miracle, he actually came back and checked out the yeshiva again. And I think the second time, again, no one was there. No one was there to see him. And I started talking to him, and basically everything we had discussed, his first conversation, which I'm very good at like those facts. I don't really know so much about people, but I could superficially know people very well. I basically said like five facts about his life, where he's from, where he's in yeshiva, etc., yada, yada, yada. So at that point, I'm like, oh, maybe I should come out of the... come out of my office, Mr. Naaman or Citrin, and start to have more to do with people. So Matthew really contributed towards that. I'm going to speak about today, but everyone should eat the food. Thank you so much to Yair, is he here? He's just here, for getting all these wonderful goodies. We'll pass around my leftovers from yesterday's dessert.
They're good brownies.
Good brownies and blondies, I think, was what we call them. I'm not sure. My cardiologist will appreciate that you all ate them, because I won't, although when he sees me having poppers and deli roll for the next week, maybe he won't be as thrilled.
Can I come over for dinner one night?
Okay. I'm going to talk about for the next few minutes the value of time, that it's both our biggest treat and also our biggest responsibility. When I was in YU, Rav Joshua Blass, or Josh Blass, came into the base medrash one day, and he said something amazing, so true, but no one thinks about it. He asked somebody, what's considered coming on time to Seder? Now, Seder in YU is officially 9 to 12, so coming on time would be 9 o'clock. That's what I thought. And he's like, no, coming at 9 o'clock means you're late. Coming at 8:57, 8:58 means you're on time because you're able to put your knapsack down, your gemara down, your coffee down, as opposed to coming at 9 o'clock, making a whole spectacle and whatever other nonsense one is doing. That would be considered late. And that really dawned upon me just how important time is. And that also, parenthetically, that applies to work also, which until I made Aliyah, I was much better at being at work on time. It's just, I don't know, for whatever reason, when you make Aliyah, you have more responsibilities at home, and I have to take the kids to God, which I never had those responsibilities in America. I'm not sure exactly why that is, but it's much harder to come on time, but really the importance of coming on time. The famous story of the Lubavitcher Rebbe, he was asking somebody what time Maariv is. It's like, I don't know, 9:05, 9:10. He's like, which one is it, 9:05 or 9:10? He's like, I don't know, but what's the difference? 9:05, 9:10, on my nafgamina for being there. My nafgamina? What's the difference? 5 minutes? You know, you can do in 5 minutes. You can build a city in 5 minutes. You could go over, if you actually know a Daf Gemara well, you go over a Daf Gemara in 5 minutes. Even maybe two, if you do it outside. Like, there's so much you can do in 5 minutes. What's 5 minutes? It's the most important thing we have in our life is time. And far too often, we waste our time. It's it's a problem with the door. We don't take advantage of those moments. And I said this over recently, just to Effie. I don't know if I said it to other people, not here, but that the greatest chizik when I read the Gedolim story, okay, they finish Shas a million times. Okay, great. If I can finish Harry Potter a million times, like I read Harry Potter, like they read Bava Kamma, fine. But the chizik I get is when they make that siyum after like 8 years of every time they're at a wedding 3 minutes early and they were waiting for their pizza for 2.5 minutes, or that's probably only in America. In Israel, you can wait for pizza for 20 minutes. I don't understand. You're the only person in the store. Yet it takes them 20 minutes to make a pie, and they think you're crazy when you're asking them, why do you want a pie? They're like, I want a pie because my kid is like on your Coca-Cola machine begging you for pizza. That's why I want a pie. But yet it takes 20 minutes. Okay, so in 20 minutes you could do a lot, but even 2.5 minutes. There's so much free time that we have during our day, and there's so much we can do. And then we ask ourselves, Rav Noam, for the Leva Chayal guys, he's done this project with looking at our phone and looking at our screen time. It may be the reason why we don't want to look at our screen time is because we're going to be a little embarrassed what our screen time is going to say. 4 hours, 5 hours, 13 hours, Mama Chappella. Even if, we all sleep a little bit. How are you up for, how are you there for 13 hours? But what are we doing? What are we doing with our time? And I'm so jealous of every one of you. Maybe a little less of Yair because he's getting towards the end of it. I think he's going to start school. But even so, I'm so jealous of each and every one of you. I would do anything in my power. And I love my wife. I love my three kids. I love the fact I support a family. And I also love the fact my wife works and helps support the family, or mom, she supports the family. I really do love that. Get a wife who makes more money than you. Don't be one of those people who are so bashful. Oh, I have to make more money, and that's called being a moron. Be the second income. There's nothing wrong with that. You'll live very well. I would do anything in my power to be back in yeshiva, being able to learn 12, 13, 14 hours a day, or even on a bad day, 3-4 hours a day. What I would do to be back in that. You don't understand. The time is going to leave. It's going to end. It's going to be very soon. Even those in YU, even those in Smicha, eventually, unless you have parents who just say, okay, you know, learn forever. I don't know if anyone in this room is in that ballpark, but eventually you get to, definitely not Edelstein. Parents are like, leave now, get the job today. It's going to end. It's going to end. And you're going to look back at your time and be like, I would do anything to have that time. And, oh, I really had to break down. You know, I had this morning. I don't know if any of you saw the Raven-Titan game. But when the Ravens made it 28-12, I had about 82 messages after Shacharis about, why did they go for two then? Should have gone for two after. Why did you go for two then? Okay, it didn't make a difference. They lost 28-12. But you could do that. You could talk with your Chavrusa today for 2.5 hours about, no, but they should have gone for the extra point then, and then go for the two-point conversion at the end of the game. You could spend the week talking about that. And you know what the godless is? You'll have more football today. You'll have something else to talk about tomorrow, whatever happens in the game today. You can waste so much time. But meaning, you could also talk about that 10 years later. You'll never get this time back of being in yeshiva. It's the most valuable time that one can have in their life, and you don't want to have that. You're like, oh, well, if only. You know, it reminds me, I don't know how many of you saw Boy Meets World. I know whenever I quote TV, I'm really outdating myself because I'm much older. Boy Meets World was an excellent, excellent comedy. And then, season 5 or so, at their graduation, they have Topanga, the valedictorian. She was going to get up to speak, and before she spoke, she's like, I had a speech prepared, but we're all going to hear from Sean Hunter. Okay. Those of you that follow the show, Sean wasn't exactly what we would call the biggest masmid, the most serious guy. You know, he didn't really take school so seriously. He was a prankster. He didn't work very hard. And I think he'd say, you know, I struggled just to get C's. And he told me, I didn't take my time seriously. And he said, my biggest regret, I wish I could have this time back. I could do it again. The way life works, unfortunately, you know, we don't get to play life in two different ways. That's why we have, like, sci-fi, that you're able to see things in two different ways. We don't get life like that. We're living our life the way we're going to live our life. We're not going to get to do it again in a different route. And I think about that, I think I use sports and, like, TV as, like, an excuse that there's so many muscles and that's why it's mutter. I think I just enjoy it and then, like, hope that you get a lesson out of it. Harry Potter, actually differ. I think there really is deep, deep Torahs in Harry Potter, but most of my Boy Meets World, I call a spade, there's not deep Torahs in it. That may be the only Torah in the entire show. But it's really true. It's really true that our time and how much time that we waste. You know, when I was Shana'al, contemplating Shana Bet, and then deciding Shana Bet, I really said to myself, I want 10 years of learning. I only got 8. My parents were really smart. They said no to Shana Gimel because they understood that, like, Shana Gimel meant Shana Dal, Shana Hay, Shana Vav, and, like, never coming back. They were smarter than me. So I never got... I owe myself two years. So I could say, like, I really need to find time, extra time during all my day to make up those 2 years. God willing, you know, my wife, because, you know, she makes more money than me, or me, one of us will make it big. I'll be able to retire, and I'll be able to pay myself back those 2 years. But I really, really do believe that, and 8 years is still a good amount of learning, and thank you so much to my parents for allowing me to have that time and for supporting me during that time. Granted, I was single, so it was a little bit easier of a support. It was amazing. It was incredible years, and there were certain years, like when I decided not to let girls be any part of my attention. I really focused. And I knew it well. I remember learning Gittin, like, really, really knowing it cold. And Brach was like, you know, then unfortunately, or fortunately, you know, you have to get married. And learning becomes a little more difficult. So I can't say I knew Pesachim quite as well. Or, you know, I had to get married so young. So then all the subsequent Mesechtas and Limudim. But that time that I had, it was mamash the biggest bracha. I heard from Rav Aryeh Cohen, if you're ever looking for a good YU Torah, his aren't so short. But shorter than Rav David Lichtenstein's headline, so Rav Aryeh Cohen is incredible, and he said the following line to me, and I said it before. I never met him, but we're voice note friends. Like, we send each other long voice notes here and there. I've never met him, but he's great. And I told him that, you know, I wish I could be like you. You, like, say what's on your mind. Like, I think it, but, like, I can't say. Like, how do you have, like, the courage to, like, to talk about the things that you talk about? Like, I don't know, like, it takes a lot. But he actually says something that I've mentioned to people individually, but never in public. But I really do believe it to be true. when you're in yeshiva, when you're in college, and you're not, and even if you're in college, and like you're not taking, and your parents want you to do well in secular subjects, and you're not taking those seriously, I think it actually may be geneva. I think if you look at your phone and you're like, I spent, and this might come up a little harsh, but I got Yair here to protect me, you know, he like basically runs Shana Bet now. If you spend 13, 4, if you look at your phone, I'm still not, I get like a thing once a week. I don't know how you actually check screen time, but I'm not always so proud of how much time I have. If you look at your phone, you're like, wow, I spent 13, 14 hours on my phone today. You may have to really hope, unlike me who just hoping I have 2 years to learn, you may actually have to hope you make it big. Because for those of you that don't know, I mean, maybe Shana Bet's a little cheaper, but Shana Aleph and Leva Torah is $28,000, and Shana Bet for whatever it is. That's a lot of money. I mean, you'll get older, you'll understand your bills. Bills are a fun thing, but they're also, you know, a little scary. That's a lot of extra money you need to be finding that you're going to have to pay back your parents. Because you may actually be over Geneva if you're just here doing nothing. We owe it to our parents. Our parents are that tremendous, tremendous Mesiras Nefesh, especially if your parents are going to continue to support you until you're working or married. And that doesn't mean that you shouldn't be learning for extra. Don't be like, oh, you know, maybe I shouldn't be here Shana Bet. Maybe I should leave today. No. It means if our plan is to leave this week, we should be thinking how we're staying for longer. We're not thinking how we should be leaving quicker. But that's a very important responsibility, and it really is true. And no matter what we're doing, to really think, what am I doing with my time? And I don't know if he still does it. When I was here in yeshiva, he would ask, tell everyone, you got to have a 5 minute limud every day. Why 5 minute limud? It's a cute thing. Okay, what do you do for 5 minutes? I never really understood a 5 minutes. You know, 5 minutes. You know, it's like Josh Jelsey, 5 minutes. 5 minutes. Got to work 55 hours a day. 5 minutes. What's 5 minutes? You don't actually sound like that, but it's a little bit sometimes. What's 5 minutes? I never understood. What's 5 minutes? No one's doing 5 minutes a day. A 5 minute limud is a ridiculous concept. And then it finally dawned upon me. What does 5 minutes mean? It's like the same idea when someone has a social lantern. If I can only have 30 minutes a day, should I learn Musar? It's like, yeah, learn Musar. Because you'll realize you have more time. So what's 5 minutes? No one ever only learns 5 minutes. It's like a means to an end. But hopefully the end will be not zero, and will be a lot more. You realize you have a lot of time. You realize there's such great depth in Torah that you really want to do as much as possible. For those who went Shana Bet last year, but if you didn't listen yet to the voice note, I'll basically sum it up. I was thinking yesterday the daf talked about Shnayim Mikra Bechatargum. It was nice. You know, we'd had about 6 daf in a row of Gadata. It was nice to get to like something like the Halacha L'Maisa. It was enjoyable. It was enjoyable. And then I was thinking to myself, you know, we did Parshas Vayechi this past week. Okay? I did Parshas Vayechi. Hopefully everyone in this room did Vayechi. And Rechaim Kanievsky did Parshas Vayechi. Rechaim Kanievsky did Parshas Vayechi. Rechaim Kanievsky doesn't know that, you know, Yosef and Yaakov had a back and forth, which hand should go to Ephraim and Menashe. He doesn't know the brothers got brachas. Of course he knows that. And I'll even go further. He knows every word in Vayechi. He's hard. He knows every word in Rashi. He's actually not like, oh gosh, Vayechi. Az Yashir, that annoying stuff in Balak. He doesn't complain about that, and he knows it cold. And he's doing the same thing that I'm doing. What's Pshat? He knows Vayechi cold. Because there's Amkus to Torah. There's real, real Amkus to Torah. It's a very deep thing. It's not like, it doesn't stop. When he's doing Vayechi for the 80th time, or 100th, or 1,000th time, whatever he's doing it for, he's seeing something different. And that's one of the main reasons why we really need to commit ourselves to learning Torah, because every time we learn Torah, we get it at a deeper level. We get it at a much deeper level. You say about Rosh Scheinberg. You're supposed to go up to, I've never seen this anywhere, but you're supposed to go up to Shemayim with a Masechta in like your back pocket. I don't know. I'm sure someone said this. I didn't see it there. Doesn't mean it's not said. And Rosh Scheinberg learned Nida like 500 times. Well, for those of you that were at my seminar, heard the speech, said that, you know, I started Nida in high school, and then after like 4.5 minutes went on to a different Masechta. Nida's a little difficult. Nida's a little difficult. But Rosh Scheinberg, it wasn't difficult for him. It was difficult for him not to know what was going on with the Yankees. That's like what he said. That was difficult for him. It wasn't difficult for him not to learn Nida. That was very easy for him. So why did he learn Nida a million times? Learn something else. You know, you go to, if anyone ever go, you ever go to like where I daven every day, a great schutz. It's just packed with svarim. Like hundreds of thousands of dollars probably worth of svarim. Although they get old svarim, so they're probably cheaper. Ton of svarim. I don't want to downplay Rechaim Kanievsky or Scheinberg. I don't think they know every sefer in there. I really believe they don't know every sefer. It's too much. It's not possible. I mean, they know the keys. They know a lot. They know a lot more than me. I don't know any sefer, so they know a lot of svarim. But I don't think they know everything. Learn Nida 500 times. Learn something else. For Baruch Simon, you told me like he picked up Chassidus later in life. Does it mean he doesn't chadur shas or halach anymore? Of course not. But he never knew Chassidus, so he could pick something up new. There's so much Torah. So why did he learn Nida? Because he wasn't learning Nida 500 times and every time was, oh, just another time. No, he learned Nida for the first time every single time. Because he didn't learn the same thing. Everything is Amkus. Everything is death. He learned a new thing every time that he learned. It's an amazing, amazing chizik that, you know, we're here. We don't want to waste our time. And hope, and we don't want to waste our time. We want Torah to be a part of our life forever. And we're not going to be Rechaim Kanievsky. I mean, we may get brachas from him today, but we're not going to be Rechaim Kanievsky as a being. That's not going to happen. But in all our capabilities, we're able to go through Torah. And every time, learn it on a deeper level, continue to learn. But it's only possible that can happen when you're here now, when there aren't distractions. I can tell you. You can think there's distractions. No, phone are distractions. Issues with children. Issues of like, how am I paying to like have water? How am I paying for like, oh my gosh, we turn our dude on for like 3 hours. It doesn't even work. We don't take hot showers. We always have cold showers. And yet I'm still paying for a dude. Those are like real stresses you're going to have in life. If any of you don't know what a dude is like a little button that, okay, first I got to talk to Rebel Yo, because there's no way when I move I'm having a dude. But okay, those are real sorrows that we have. You don't have any sorrows like that in your life. All you have is time to grow. All you have is time. All you have is time to learn. And as is Hashem, we should continue to learn at a deep level. You should continue to see Torah for the first, second, third, whatever amount of time, but it's always the first time because you're always learning something. You're always learning something on a new level. And they said about Rav Soloveitchik, and my favorite Rav Soloveitchik board. He had Talmidim who would vary 20 years, and they would say, no, Rebbe said this, no, Rebbe said that. I mean, Soloveitchik said he knew how to learn. He didn't like sometimes know one thing or another. But what happened was, Rav Soloveitchik was so intellectually honest with himself, learning it the first time, it wasn't like, oh, now I'm done for life, this is pshat. He always learned for a new thing, and then he found a new pshat, and what he thought for 20 years was the emes of a sugya, he learned out. It wasn't really the emes of a sugya, because there's depth to Torah. We're not learning it for the first time. We're not just reviewing. We're trying to see something new. We're trying to see something different. And when you're able to do that, and you really know the Torah, and you're like, wow, what I thought for all these years, now I'm able to see it differently. Like, you know, sometimes it's embarrassing. I'm learning my Gemara Brachos with like, my Gemara from like Shana Bet, and like it's embarrassing, like where I had stoppages or where I had underlines or that I thought like Amar was a name. No, that's not a true story. the other parts were. It's embarrassing, but no, it's humbling. It's humbling. It's humbling to see yourself, but it's humbling to be like, wow, Hadron Olav, I actually came back, did. And it's humbling to see it that I'm able to see it differently. I'm able to like learn it out. What I thought all these years was one point, you know, is now something different. The guy I go to shir yesterday, he said a vort for 30 years that I had a kasha for 30 years. It didn't make sense to me, and now I see a random sisichayim on the parsha that quotes it differently, and now I see everything differently. It's incredible. It's incredible that that Torah is able to do that and to be able to see it on a different level. Everybody should learn well. If you're not a Rav Noam's chug, you should, or chabur or whatever, night seder, you should also try to like monitor your phone, because besides the obvious, you know, isurim that a phone, you know, thank God when I was 13, my parents didn't give me, you know, a porn machine. Thank God. But even negating a porn machine, even negating just what you're able to do with a phone, like, you know, the fact that like, it's ridiculous to wake up at 2 in the morning and being like, oh, are the Vikings driving or the Niners driving, to wake up at 4:25 and wondering like how the Ravens are going to come back. Like, who needs that in their life? Who needs that in their life? Okay, we should all be zochet to monitor ourselves and to make the most of our time, because there's no bigger gift in life than our time. And eventually, your years in yeshiva will end, and you'll regret that you had it. And then ultimately, our years in the world will end, and our regret won't be, oh, I could have finished Big Bang Theory a day earlier. Our regret will be, I didn't spend more time learning. I didn't spend more time with my children. I didn't spend more time with my wife. I didn't pay attention to my wife. I didn't pay attention to my children. Like how important that is for kids and for everybody we have. And even friends. There's nothing more discouraging than seeing someone on their phone while you're talking to them. So, all right, enjoy your breakfast. And I have no idea what time Shir starts, but today would be a good day to be there on time.